Happy Monday on the Monday Morning Joe podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Our podcast is presented by Lakeland Automall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. If you're just tuning in for the first time, thank you. Thanks for checking it out. My voice, if it's a little familiar to you, maybe you've heard me on the Ira Kaufman podcast or on WDAE for years, where I was doing all kinds of spots in the Steve Dumig show every week until the radio station kicked us off because everything Joe Bucks fan is proving to be more popular than the radio station. So they don't like that. They got a little upset with that whole concept, and here we are. So yesterday's game, before I get rolling, there is a reality. You have to ask yourself where you sit. Do you sit there right now thinking, hey, it's just one game. Bucks went out there on the road, very emotional situation. Cardinals with their backs against the wall, Adrian Peterson coming in all fired up in a system that suits him perfectly, and he wasn't injured yet. And he goes out there and they jump on the Bucks. And, you know, the Bucks caught up, and it was just, you know, a tight game at the end. They showed a lot of heart. Hey, you know what? It's one game. The Bucks can go to Buffalo. They can beat the Bills. The Bills aren't that great. They're not special, and everything's okay. The Bucks will get back to 3-3. Haven't even taken on their division schedule yet. It's all good. You could have that attitude, and you wouldn't be wrong. Buffalo has a great defense. They're averaging, allowing just 15 points a game. 15 points a game. Sean McDermott, new head coach, has them playing good ball. Dirk Cutter coached offenses going back to 2014 and then 15-16 with the Bucks in six games against McDermott's defenses with Carolina. Cutter has not had success, period. Just has not had success. So that may be a very tough spot, but the Bucks can beat them. And I think even without Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think he could play well enough to beat the Bills. I really do. So I'm not panicking, but you can also look at it a very different way. You can look at it as yesterday was an indictment as to the state of the Buccaneers franchise. Because what happened yesterday, let's face it, it doesn't happen to good teams. Certainly doesn't happen to good teams 2 years in a row in the same spot. It certainly doesn't happen to a good team coming off a mini bye week when their focus, the coach's focus, was preparing the team to not repeat what happened last year in Arizona when they got train wrecked 40-7. So how does yesterday happen? That is really the underlying question facing Bucks fans everywhere. It's what we heard at Joe Bucks Fan, our Twitter account at Joe Bucks Fan, relentlessly yesterday. How does that happen? I thought we were past this. This team wasn't supposed to do that. And that's where you go to the state of the team. What is the state of the team? What is the state of the team that allows that to happen? That's part of what we're going to address today. And some positives. Of course, we'll pull some positives. I'm not a Johnny Endless Negative Nancy, even though people think I am sometimes, after my opinion of Doug Martin was shared in depth over months, but that's really not the case. But what is the case is amazing savings at Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Their model year-end closeout is going on where you can save up to $12,000 off MSRP with special dealer discounts on all 2017 Ford and Hyundai vehicles. Plus, every new vehicle purchase includes nationwide lifetime warranty, a nationwide lifetime warranty on every new vehicle. Think about that. And 1 year free maintenance. Shop from nearly 1,000 vehicles in stock and make your selection by price or by payment. Shop online, get your best deal at LakelandFord.com. And then tell Lakeland Ford manager Sean Sullivan you're a stick carrier or a Bucks fan or you love JoeBucksFan.com or you listen to Monday Morning Joe and get an additional $500 off your best deal on any new Ford. They're very easy to get to. Lakeland Automall, Ford and Hyundai, 1430 West Memorial Boulevard, right off I-4. Quick trip from Tampa. You can even go back roads, Hillsborough Avenue. I've done it that way before. Drive through Plant City. Very nice. Very easy to get to. No other dealer can compare. Come to Lakeland Automall today. Find out why they are exceeding customer expectations every day. You know, I went out at halftime yesterday. Halftime. And I needed some air. I wasn't really sure what to do. My business partner, Lee DeCamper, the other Joe, he had texted me with about 2 minutes left in the second quarter saying, I think I'm going to start writing, meaning writing our post-game commentary and stories and gathering up some news and nuggets and whatnot. And I texted back, it's too early for me. But I understood where he was coming from. And frankly, when Dirk Cutter did not kick a field goal at the end of the half, down 24-0, when he left points on the board and went on fourth and goal from what it was like the 4-yard line or something with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and basically took 3 points off the board where the Bucs could have at least salvaged something for as a certainty. And I'm assuming Patrick Murray is money from within 30 yards until he proves otherwise. And the Bucs would have gotten the ball back at the start of the second half. Something to cling to. But no, Cutter went for it. So check this. First down and goal. Ryan Fitzpatrick fires a strike to Doug Martin. It hits him right between the 22s and bounces off his chest. Well, the Bucs screwed that up. Second down. Fitzpatrick doesn't throw it away. He scrambles, gets a couple yards, 2-3 yards. Next play, he scrambles. He has O.J. Howard open in the end zone. He's looking for Howard to make a break toward the back. Throws him a little shovel, and Howard didn't really move. Whatever, miscommunication, who knows what. But he was open, and there was a play there, didn't make it. Okay, so here we are at fourth down. The Bucs got nothing. They're not doing anything there. And Cutter somehow thinks they're going to get it on fourth and four or fourth and six. Fourth and goal from the 4 or 6. Come on, Dirk. If you believe you're in the game, if you still believe you're in the game, take the damn points. So here we are at halftime. This is my story, right? So I'm pissed because of that. And I go out, and probably like most fans, get a little fresh air outside. I just started kicking my garage door. Just that simple. My neighbor across the street, he got in his car and he backed out and forgot to open his garage door. It's just how it is for Bucks fans. And that's why at least we all have discount garage doors. DGDoors.com to call today, 7 days a week. You could call them. You could have called them at halftime after you let out your rage. Same day free service call from Discount Garage Doors. Free estimate and diagnosis. Most competitors charge for that. But you can call them anytime. And in a serious note, no matter what your garage door issue is, Discount Garage Doors, 1-866-420-DOOR, 1-866-420-DOOR, or go to dgdoors.com. They've got new doors. They've got a tremendous repair team at Discount Garage Doors. You'll get 10% off with your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Wide range of doors, new doors, whatever. They're going to come to your place, and they're just going to give you a diagnosis, give you estimates on new doors, on repairs, tell you all your options. Not going to cost you a nickel. And there's a reason they're called Discount Garage Doors, because you're not going to get ripped off. This is a great local company that's expanded all the way out to Central Florida, serving much of the state. Give them a call today, dgdoors.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan code, and you will not be disappointed. Now, in all seriousness with that Bucks game, I was not joking around as far as Cutter going for the field goal at the end of the half. Yeah, some people were annoyed with him later in the second half, going for two each time instead of taking the single points. I can't quibble with any of that. But the three, Tay, put the three on the board, Dirk. Stop taking points away from your team. And also in the first half, you had Murray for a 55 or 56-yard field goal. You were trailing. You didn't even try it. He's got the range. He's got that range. It's a dome. Let's see what we got in the guy. Let's try to change momentum. Come on. Either you're in the game or you're not in the game. And if you're going to be a coach with a big MF stick, as you say you've got, then be consistent. You know, let's put points on the board. Let's play like we're going to win, not being a little haphazard and inconsistent. So I didn't like that. But that's not wasn't the Bucks' fault as far as what went wrong in this game. What went wrong was the defense and the team's state of mind, and the state of the team is now in question, rightfully so. The most egregious thing we saw Sunday, let's face it, let's boil it down. The most egregious thing we saw was really very simple. Everybody in that stadium, everybody watching on television, everybody paying attention to the NFL knew that Arizona traded for Adrian Peterson for one reason, because their offense hums with a running game, setting up statue-like Carson Palmer to get some play action, take some deep shots. They pride themselves on explosive plays. They've got the receivers. That's their game. They're down David Johnson, their best offensive player. They brought in Adrian Peterson as a desperation move to light a spark, primarily because Peterson was healthy. Healthy. There was no question about his health all through training camp. if you followed along in New Orleans, his teammates were basically saying they've never seen anybody like him. Well, this is all through the spring. This was not a guy taking off OTAs. Training camp, same thing. Adrian Peterson, unbelievable. What an athlete. What a work ethic. What burst on this guy. This is coming out of New Orleans. But everybody knew that Sean Payton's offense didn't fit Adrian Peterson. Not a fit. It's just, I mean, you got a guy who likes to line up 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage and run downhill and pound the rock 30 times a game, 20 times a game. On a team that just doesn't do that and that has no trouble scoring points. So they didn't need AP. It wasn't a good fit. And here he came to Arizona healthy and ready. And you knew what was coming, Bucks. You knew it was going to be a steady diet of AP trying to establish that running game. And you got blown off the ball by what most people consider a average at best offensive line. And we'll call them average at best considering they got two starters back on Sunday. We'll give them that. That's his best. We'll call him average. What's going on here? Swaggy Baker, top free agent. Clinton McDonald, healthy, been playing okay. Gerald McCoy is up the gut of this defense. Kendall Beckwith's been playing well with his run fits. Levante David's back. Robert Ayers, not a liability usually against the run. Will Golston, big money free agent, re-signing because he can play the run. They couldn't do it. They got their ass handed to them. So that's very disturbing. And they couldn't adjust. And there's Peterson looking like his superstar Hall of Fame self. And that's a whole nother question. Now, look, those who follow JoeBucksFan.com closely know that I was the guy, and this is going back to when we were on the Steve Dumick Show on 620 back in the spring, who was saying bring AP in here for a long look. Bring him in for a workout. Get to know him. Jameis worked out with him and other Bucks for 3 days. Jameis came back saying, this guy's amazing. He changed me, and he's in incredible shape with an incredible work ethic. Think about it. The Bucks before the draft were desperate for a running back. Doug Martin was an unknown. They had high hopes that he would continue to rehab and continue to stay off drugs and revive his career. But he was an unknown. And they needed a running back. So they draft Snoop McPlaybook. And he doesn't work out, but they never even gave Adrian Peterson a look. Never even brought him in for a workout like other teams did. And to me, that's inexcusable. That was a team saying, you know what? We've got some unwritten rule that we don't want an old running back in here. We don't care what he looks like, what he can contribute. And that was just closed-mindedness. I didn't like it at all. And you know what? It wouldn't shock me if AP gets hurt in 2 weeks and he's on the shelf by Thanksgiving. That's not the point. Point is your Buccaneers, who were 9-7, who needed some running back help, especially early in the season, who were looking for to reestablish a ground game and make their weapons more effective. They didn't even want to look at AP. And to me, that was wrong then, and it cost them the game yesterday. Doesn't mean they would have signed Peterson. I'm talking about give him a look. They didn't do it. And was that good scouting by the Bucks? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Okay, forget about AP. Here we are with another slow start. Bucks had a terrible slow start in Minnesota. It's been a trademark of the Jameis Winston regime, the Jameis Winston era in Tampa. And this time, when it includes the defense, it gets very, very ugly. So the slow starts, who is that on? Who is that on? The team wasn't ready to play. Now, that's on the leadership of the team itself. Jameis may think he's a great leader. He's part of the leadership is to make sure that team is ready to play. That's what leadership is on a football team. Keeping the team from getting too low. Keeping the team playing hard. Not there. Coaches, they didn't get it done. That's a systemic issue. This should not have happened. So what is the state of the team? How does Dirk Koetter fix this? We don't know. Maybe it's just a matter of playing football, figuring out how to way to get these guys loose. It's a big, big question mark right now. Lee, the other Joe, has written about how bringing in a consultant might help. Certainly can't hurt. But I think they need to channel what was working last year for that 5-game winning streak. They know what they were doing and what they weren't doing. They need to get back to that. Somehow they got to find a way to get back to that in a hurry. Now, I don't think Mike Smith is all of a sudden a horrible football coach, a horrible defensive coordinator. I don't think Dirk Cutter is clueless, but they don't have time. They're running out of time. But a little bit deeper look into the defense, the defensive line, there's not a lot that's going to be fixed this year. They have to tighten up against the run. They have the horses to do that, but there is no pass rush. There is no pass rush. Entering that game yesterday, the Bucs were last in the NFL in pressures, and that's an ESPN NFL film stat. Last in the league in quarterback pressures per percentage of dropbacks. They were last in sacks. Their defensive ends have one sack through 5 games. One sack for all defensive ends through 5 games. That's hard to do. Hard to do. Usually you're going to run into a couple of them. That's really hard to do. I looked it up back in 2010. The Bucs had 10.5 sacks as a team. 10.5 sacks from their defensive ends. Right now we're on pace for less than that. That was bad then, which is why they ran out in the draft and got Daquan Bowers and Adrian Claiborne to try to right that wrong and get rid of Styles White and generate some young, healthy pressure. That was 2010. What are they going to do next year? They're going to run out and draft 2 defensive ends? I don't think so. But it's grim. It's grim on the edge. Noah Spence, whether he's hurt or not, he's not getting it done. Playing in a shoulder harness, I don't know what his injury situation really is, but he's not on the injury report. And he's not getting it done. Robert Ayers looks like he's lost a step. He can't come back next year at 33 years old. No way. Will Golston simply cannot rush the passer. Can't do it. And I'm not mad at the guy. He just can't do it. We've got Will Clark. You know, who's that? It's bad. It is really bad. And it's a problem because I think as we talk about the state of the team and the systemic issues that are in the team, look at Jason Light. He's got to go to the Glazers after this year and say, well, I need a 5th year to develop a pass rush. Defensive end, there's a reason those guys are really among the top 2 or 3 positions paid in the league, because they are that important. And a pass rush, a no edge rush for 4 years, Jason Light needs 5 years to get an edge rush when that was a glaring problem when he got here. I don't know. That's a problem. That's a problem that needs to be thought about on a grand scale. You look at cornerback. That's another issue. If Brent Grimes doesn't come back next year at 35 years old, he might not want to. Who knows? What do you got there? You got Ryan Smith, who's worse than Vernon Hargraves, who right now is terrible. Terrible. We talked about Hargraves on the last podcast. I'm not going to pile on the guy. He's bad. He even had a loaf in that game. A loaf, meaning a visible time where the effort was not there, intentionally dogging it. I mean, that's bad. That is bad. So you can't draft 2 edge rushers and a couple of cornerbacks. They still need a running back, which is not a slight on Doug Martin. They need to draft a good running back, a running back who's going to be with them when they win the Super Bowl. And no, it's not a joke. So they've got a lot of challenges ahead of them. Again, that's all big picture stuff. And maybe that's not what you want to talk about on a Monday morning, but that's where our heads are at as hardcore Bucks fans, because we saw what happened yesterday and we just can't believe it. It's like, it's not our team. That's not the team that should have beaten the Patriots if it made a few field goals. That's not the team that came out after a tough Hurricane Irma and a big mess and a bye week they didn't want against the Bears and laid it to them quickly and took advantage of things. That's not the team that was just flat out better than the Giants and who came out strong defensively and offensively. So it makes you wonder. The team shouldn't have this in them. Now, one thing that was a little bit interesting, I don't want to overblow it because it's just not fair, because it's one guy talking who doesn't know this team too well. But that's part of what makes it interesting. In the Tampa Bay Times, TJ Ward was quoted by Rick Stroud as saying something to the effect of, and you know what, maybe I think I have it here. I'll pull it up exactly. You know, I don't, the hell with it. He basically said, we came out on the trip, meaning the West Coast trip, a day early. Dirk Cutter likes to fly out Friday, acclimate, get in the time zone thing, stay over Saturday, of course. They do walkthroughs on Saturdays, have some meetings, and then Sunday's game day. That's the way he likes to do it. And the Bucks were 3-1 doing it that way last year. And that's a Mike Smith thing that was successful for the Falcons in Atlanta when they traveled out west and Cutter was on those teams for part of those years. So I get it. It's not about when you arrive. But TJ Ward said, you know, we got there a day early and some guys, the young guys, they maybe think they're on vacation and we got to be more workmanlike and be all business. And I get that. And it's telling because Ward is coming from a championship organization in the Denver. They probably did it differently when he was there. And he has a different kind of bird's eye view of the team because he's new, but he's got experience. And that was a bit of a red flag. Excuse me. Bit of a red flag. Maybe he saw some guys doing some things on the off day or on the off time that he didn't like or wasn't used to seeing or just didn't jibe with the way he operates as a veteran player who's been to 3 Pro Bowls, and I get all that. But it's worth noting. Now, I went to Arizona last year. I did not go this year. Went to the game last year. And I stayed in the team hotel, which the media is offered. It's not released publicly, but the media usually gets a media rate to stay in the team hotel. And there's some benefits as a media guy to do that. And even though we get a rate, it's a super nice hotel, not where I would normally stay. But for the little bit of extra money, it's worth running into the guys in the hallway, in the elevator, sniffing out some of the players, talking to the taxi drivers who are camped out there at the hotel, helping these guys go to and fro. When they're in town, not all the players take Uber. A lot of them will take taxis when they're there on the road and in their free time. And, you know, I learned a lot about the Bucks on that trip. One thing I learned, and I'm not going to out guys and all that. That's not why I was out there. That's not why I'm here on this podcast. But I heard a couple of good stories from some cab drivers of the Bucks exploits out there, and it was pretty benign, but you know, they're out there on a Saturday and they're getting ready to watch college football and they're getting taxi rides to get massive quantities of unhealthy food. And then the taxi driver is telling me about the guys and their eating exploits, and I'm running into actual players who told me what they were doing in their off time and going out for Mexican and all this other stuff and some other things as well that I'm not going to go into that about the nightlife situation. But it doesn't mean that these guys are breaking any team rules whatsoever. It's just when you're out there an extra day in town, it does feel more like a vacation. Sometimes when you just go in and do your business and get out, go in, do your walkthroughs, get your quick meeting, get to bed, we'll get up early, we got a game. It's different than coming in on a Friday. And that's what TJ Ward really was talking about. And it's something to just sort of file away in the back of your head. The Bucks do have a lot of young players playing key roles. Justin Evans in the same position group with TJ Ward. Also in the defensive backfield, Ryan Smith, Vernon Hargraves, Kendall Beckwith on the linebacking core. So just something to think about. I'm not accusing anybody of anything or whatever, but it's interesting to think about. It reminds me a lot of when Chris Conte came to the Bucks. He went on the Buccaneers radio network and he talked about how he didn't like the vibe and the feel on the sidelines, and he could tell that the team was basically said that the team had too much of a losing mentality on the sideline, and it wasn't what he was used to in Chicago. And I don't remember exactly if it was players who were thinking, you know, when if they got a lead and then panicked when they lost the lead, or whether they were trailing and, you know, the attitude wasn't right. And I wrote about it on JoeBucksFan.com. I wish I had pulled it up. I just thought of it. And Conte didn't like it. And I referenced it a couple of times. And man, I haven't really talked to Conte at all since we had a little one-on-one discussion about that piece. And he didn't like that I was sort of, that JoeBucksFan.com was sort of harping on it. And I just told him, hey, man, that was interesting. You were basically coming in as an outsider from a winning team on some winning seasons and saying it's not the sideline vibe is not mentally where it should be. So that was worth noting. Now, TJ Ward didn't say that about the sidelines, didn't say that about the team, but he basically said that, hey, you know, maybe we're on vacation a little bit too much. It's his opinion, but file that away. And maybe it's something that as a leader on this team, as a new leader on the team, that he can impart and explain and sort of show what needs to be done on these road trips so you don't come out super flat like that. Again, not accusing anyone, but it's something to look at. Now, the bigger picture stuff that we talked about, if you want to be a Bucks fan who's thinking about the bigger picture and how this thing gets fixed and what's wrong with the organization that this happens, on the offensive side of the ball, I don't even think you can go there just yet, because look, Jameis was lost in the first quarter. I mean, I cannot sit here intelligently going nuts or intelligently analyzing when you lose your starting quarterback in the first quarter. You just can't do that. When they needed to run the ball early and effectively, they could not do it. They could not establish the ground game that they wanted to. And I don't think it was because they were stacking the box against Ryan Fitzpatrick. The run game is not where the Bucs needed to be. They were supposed to be bigger, stronger, nastier, more mashers, and it's not there. Some of that's on the running back. Some of that's just maybe they need more touches to get in more of a rhythm or the run calls, whatever. It wasn't there early. But the rest of the offense, what are you going to say? Jameis was down. Period. End it right there. You lost Jameis. What did you expect? I don't think you can make some sort of big picture stuff out of the offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick moved the ball on, I'm not going to call it a prevent defense, but defense is different when you're winning 31-0, when you're up 31-14. It's just different. That's just football. Bruce Arians talked about that after the game. It's like that in basketball, too. I mean, you're up 31 points. You're not pressing. You're not running the full court press up 31. It's different. And you can't knock what Ryan Fitzpatrick did, but you can't sort of read so deeply into it. It was a messed up game that the defense didn't show up. And the team itself didn't bring what it needed to. And that's really the problem. How do you fix the no-show effect? The not there, the not ready. The endless slow starts by Jameis. Ira Kaufman has written the statistic. I don't have it in front of me. Jameis, his first quarter touchdowns through 37 games, it's not there. It's like among the very worst in the league. He's a slow starter. He was like that in college, and somebody has to figure that out. And that's the biggest task facing the coaching staff, and at least they have a blueprint from last year where they went out and they throttled teams and the defense allowed 17 points a game in the second half of the year. This team was 6-2 to close last season. 6-2. Not a joke. Cutter had him ready on the wacky opening day this year. He knows how to prepare a team coming off the summer. Last year, they opened up and they throttled Atlanta. They were ready. Cutter pushed all the right buttons. If you can win like that on the road on opening day or win on opening day, then everything you did all of a sudden in the summer was right on the spot. So there's some hope here. I got a lot of hope that the coaching staff knows how to figure this out because they've done it before. Now, of course, it shouldn't happen again. We've done it before, but that's the way it goes. A couple of positive things and some exciting things. First, this coming Sunday, Abe's Place, JoeBucksFan.com watch party, Abe's Place in Clearwater. All the details on JoeBucksFan.com. Ira Kaufman will be out there. He will be there early. He'll be telling stories. He's got a way of telling a lot of insider stuff. You can take pictures with him. You can chat with him. I'm expecting to be out there as well. At least on the early side for the before the game. Get there early. Abe's food is phenomenal. Great atmosphere, good audio. Ira, it's just a good time to watch a game. It's good to bond with Bucks fans and get some good chatter going. So appreciate you coming out there and supporting us. Of course, thank you to Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors. Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai, Discount Garage Doors. We love them. We adore them. As far as the Bucks on the upside, Lavonte David coming back strong like that, huge, huge Don't underestimate it. Huge. He got stronger as the game went on. And missing 2.5 games with a bad ankle injury. He came back. He was ready. Bodes very, very well. Very, very well going forward. Ryan Fitzpatrick, could you ask for anything more from the guy? Really? Seriously, could you? The almost pick six, yeah, it happens. But that's Fitzpatrick. That's who he is. He played to his capabilities, and he showed great leadership, and he showed the Bucs that, you know what, if Jameis can't go against Buffalo, that, you know what, Fitzpatrick can put up some points and show up and play some decent football. And that's what you got your backup for. So kudos to him for a guy who was ready to play when many of those around him were not. He was ready to go. More upside, Cameron Brate, hell of a football player, hell of a football player. Can't say enough about Brate and the way he catches the football. As far as Dirk Cutter's play calling, I still have to see more from Mike Evans down the field. I just don't get it. Throw him the deep ball. He's our best 50-50 guy. Throw him high balls. Let him compete deep. Let him compete. You know, that was one of the themes that we learned in Hard Knocks for the Bucs. Compete. Compete. Give him a chance, Jameis. Remember we heard that in Hard Knocks? Give him a chance. Give him a chance. Just give him a chance, Jameis. I mean, telling Jameis, throw the ball where guys can catch it, let them make a play on it. Cutter, I'm going to tell you right now, give him a chance. Give him a chance. Pound this guy, Evans. You know, don't be scared of these corners. So terribly scared. I think we're more scared of who's covering our guys than counting on the talent of our guys. I think the scale is a little bit off. Mike Evans is a monster. Throw him the ball high. Throw him the ball in the right spot. If you got him in single coverage, go for it. I mean, did you see Mike Evans on that near pick six by the Arizona corner on the silly little slant pass on the goal line from Ryan Fitzpatrick? Unbelievable. Evans is focused there to break up that pass, which was way too low. He almost stripped the guy. That you're going to get that kind of effort from him on the deep balls, where it's not nearly as dangerous as a quick slant out of the end zone. Let him compete. He's a good football player. I'd put my money on Mike Evans on a deep shot any day of the week. In all, you know, I'm just burned out. These games are hard, man. These games are hard. I lose my voice even though I'm home. I get a few good screams out, and my voice is shot. It's crazy. Buffalo, yeah, I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist because I do believe the Bucs have the talent. And I believe a team like the Bucs are, like they just did the other day, yesterday. You know, when you score 31 points, I think it was, in the second half, 33 points. You know, talent, that takes talent. That didn't just happen. You go back and watch that second half with, excuse me, a different kind of eye. You know, it will give you a little bit of an encouragement going forward. So I think I have to be optimistic. I have to believe that they can go up there and find a game plan to squeak out a win against Buffalo. If not, I will be close to being ready to mail it in, because you got to win games. And it's probably going to take 11 to make a wild card this year in the NFC. 10 maybe gets it, but you're going to have the Bucs have already lost some tough NFC games, which goes to the tiebreakers. So I think it's going to take 11 this year for the Bucs. And if you lose in Buffalo, why should anybody think you're really going to beat any of the other teams coming up? So huge game, crossroads game for a lot of things. We started this off talking about the state of the franchise. Big crossroads game in Buffalo on Sunday. 2-4 for this team is just not acceptable. And unfortunately, that's going to get the guys upstairs, the big guys upstairs, the G's, as Lee calls them from JoeBucksFan.com, the G's, they can have a quick trigger finger, and they like to start searching and preparing themselves for what's next. Jason Light doesn't have a new deal. It's a big game on Sunday. And I know most of you don't like the whole revolving door, reactionary Bucks and making changes, but that's the way our ownership is. And there's good to that and there's bad. And we don't want to see it this year. I certainly don't, because I think there's a lot of good here that just needs to be figured out. I don't know. I'm as frustrated as you are, so I'm going to leave it at that. JoeBucksFan.com. Keep visiting. Keep checking out Monday Morning Jill, the podcast, iTunes, Podbean. You can subscribe. It's free. It's easy. You get an alert or a download to your phone, however you want to do it, or to your app. And we appreciate your support. We'll keep grinding away here for you on JoeBucksFan.com. Sunday, Abe's Place. Don't watch at home. Too much fun to come out. Have some incredible food. We've got some prizes, jerseys to give away, all kinds of other stuff. Abe's always does it right. Go Bucks!